In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best. The best analysis. The best interviews. The best coverage. And no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
And welcome. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle. We are broadcasting live at Libby Montana's here on Donjus Bay Road in Mequon. We are brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Thank you so much tonight for taking a listen to us on this special Wednesday night edition of the Bill Michaels Huddle. Normally we're out on Thursdays, but tomorrow night it is all Green Bay Packers all the time. The Packers on the road taking on the Seattle Seahawks at, what is it now called, Mike?
CenturyLink
Stadium. It used to be Quest.
Quest.
And now it is CenturyLink Stadium in Seattle, where they have it acoustically set to where it is one of the loudest, if not the loudest stadium in all of football.
Did you hear Mike McCarthy say they got a great stereo system?
They do. I did hear that.
He totally busted them. That's like the old Metrodome.
Where they piped it in?
That game, October 5th, 2009, Favre's first game against the Packers in the old Humpty Dome. We're there early for that game. It's about 3 or 4 o'clock. They're doing a sound check in the Metrodome. And all of a sudden, I hear this music, and I hear this, like, what is that? The place is empty.
Yep.
But they're doing a sound check, and it's like, well, no one, all these years. And they have these giant speakers right behind the visitor's bench, and they're microphoning the crowd and then recycling it through and pumping it through those amplifiers. And you can't hear people, you know, face-to-face. And I've talked to guys that have played at now CenturyLink Field and say that's the same thing. Sure, they talk about how the shape of the shell of the stadium is and the acoustics and all that. But McCarthy says, yeah, and they've got a stereo system too. They crank that thing, and it just pipes in between the music and the crowd noise. You got guys that are helmet to helmet shouting each other, and they just give up. They have to go to hand signals.
Wasn't that, correct me if I'm wrong, banned by the NFL not too long ago, and they actually fined the Atlanta Falcons for doing just that?
Well, now that McCarthy's onto it, I'm sure there'll be congressional meetings next week.
Mike is, nothing gets past him. He's like a hockey goalie over there, for gosh sakes. Joining us, the other voice that you hear, Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio. John Dodds here tonight as well. Mike McCarthy, the Green Bay head coach, 18-8 versus NFC West teams during the regular season. However, 61% of the road teams that travel on Thursday night, they do not win. Historically, the numbers are against them, John. What is going to lead you to believe that they're going to go into this new CenturyLink Field and get themselves a victory?
I think the key is probably Alexander. Can he play? That secondary is really, really racked up. If they have to go in with all rookies, if they have to have Brown play significant plays at cornerback, and Breland is out, and Bryce is out, I think Russell Wilson's really going to have a kind of easy pickings in the secondary. But if Alexander can play, I think that's key. Mike, what do you hear about Alexander?
I saw him yesterday too, and I think he is key. I think he's had a great game. You know who's been getting picked on is Josh Jackson. You know, even Brock Osweiler was picking on him in the Dolphins game the other day. He's missed some tackles. He's the guy that they kind of expected would be jumping out in front of the football and getting some picks, and he had one where he came, you know, just a hair away, and it ended up being a completion for him. So I think that Pete Carroll is going to take a look at that and say, hey, maybe we should go after Josh Jackson as well. And they'll try and get some matchups with him.
They've been trying to, in that secondary, kind of piece it together after they jettison a couple of players. They've had a couple of injuries back there as well. How comfortable do you feel with, if Jair Alexander can go, how comfortable, is Kevin King going to be back?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. No. So, I mean, if they get him back, that'd be one thing. But how comfortable are you with Jair Alexander, Josh Jackson, Tremont Williams, the young guys that are back there, and a couple of the veterans? It's probably the deepest position short of wide receiver on the team, but you're also relying on a lot of youth to be really, really good.
Well, you know, if healthy, I would kind of be in favor of Jair Alexander just following Doug Baldwin were in man for the whole night.
Just wherever he goes?
Yeah. I just think that he's the most dynamic player you've got, and then you can bring a safety over to help out on some of those plays. That's Russell Wilson's go-to guy, especially when he's out there running around. But, you know, I think that'd be a pretty good scheme, to at least to start off with.
I've been impressed with Tony Brown, the rookie from Alabama. He's made a couple bonehead 15-yard penalties, but he's there. He kind of reminds me, and he's fast. He reminds me a little bit of Sam Shields, except he's much more physical than Sam Shields. I think you can pick on, if you have rookies across the board, I mean, you could have Jackson, you could have Brown, you could have Alexander, and then Tremont Williams, the only one who was a veteran is Tremont Williams, which is amazing. That's the youngest secondary. But what did you think last week of Raven Green? I thought he made a couple plays too.
Big plays and a sack.
That bodes well for the personnel department finding these guys off the street and putting them in and them coaching them up.
John, in August, toward the end of training camp, both at practice and pads and in those final preseason games, I thought, man, they're so deep at safety. It's a shame this Raven Green guy's not going to make the team. But, you know,
right.
And then they move along. Kentrell Bryce keeps on re-aggravating that ankle injury, carted off the field, didn't get on the plane last night to go to Seattle. He's not going to be there. Ha-ha, Clinton Dix is traded away. And all of a sudden, this guy gets his shot. And, you know, his first play actually on defense is the other night against the Dolphins, and he gets a big play. I absolutely loved Mike Pettine, the way he used him. Mike Pettine goes into a zero cover. There's nobody playing safety. Nobody. And Brock Osweiler now comes up to the line. He's got kind of a tight formation, and now he's probably wishing, man, can somebody see this? If I could just get one guy that can run about 12 yards over the middle, I could just dump it over there, and, you know, we got a 35-yard gain. I don't know if he had time to do that because he had Raven Green with 36 lined up on the off the left tackle. But the best part was, Bill, he had him down. He had him in a down stance, almost like he's hiding from the quarterback, you know, to see him there. But you got a safety now in a four-point stance, snap the football, and he's back there lightning fast and sacks the quarterback. Huge play and a great use of a player, of a safety like Raven Green. And, you know, there's these stories about the fact that, boy, after Sunday night, the Green Bay Packers are tied for sacks in the National Football League.
Right.
They got 31.
The top spot. But they have 10 against Buffalo and Miami.
Cleanup time.
Right.
You know,
10 against those two teams.
And Sunday night, though, is what he's doing. Six sacks by six different guys, and he's got 15 different players that have all had a sack. Mm-hmm. 15 different players. So that's all coming from all angles. It's not like there's, you know, unfortunately, it's not like Clay Matthews has got 10, and he's, you know, in a contract year and all that. Clay and Nick only have, what, four or five between the two of them? And that's $22 million off the cap between him and Nick Perry. Nick Perry not making the flight either because of a knee injury.
He's not playing. I had mentioned Kevin King. He is out, listed as out. Randall Cobb is out of this game, and Kentrell Bryce is out of this game.
Yeah.
So they're going to be hurting a little bit. Want to go ahead and let you know we are out here at Libby Montana's. We're on Donjus Bay Road here in Mequon. If you want to come by, we are also brought to you by Bud Light. We're here till 8 o'clock tonight. John Dodd alongside, also Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio. I'm Bill Michaels. Going to be here until 8 this evening. Got a lot more to discuss. Come on out and say hello. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Huddle coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Very important because obviously this is a team who will probably be battling to get into the playoffs. So it's important from that standpoint alone. We have to definitely get this win. I'm not going to say it's a must win like we all say, but we have to win this. Most definitely. Like I said, it should be fun and it'll be a great environment.
Welcome back to the program. Those are the words of Tremont Williams. Tremont Williams talking about the environment that's upcoming. As the Green Bay Packers head out to Seattle, and they're going to take on the Seahawks coming up tomorrow night. You're going to be able to catch the Green and Gold postgame show on many of these same stations. Gary Ellerson, yours truly, will be breaking it down immediately following Green Bay and Seattle, so make sure you're paying attention to that. We're broadcasting live here at Libby Montana's, Donjus Bay Road in Mequon. Come on by and say hi. We're brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. John Dodds alongside, also Mike Clemens here as well, as our roundtable continues. By the way, before I go any further, I want to make sure I mention these guys. I know they're in the car leaving because they got to get back to Sheboygan, but Alex and Mitch, they are with Tack Metal Designs. And going back a while ago when we bought our new house, and Mike, you've seen some pictures of this, we have this country bar. And Sherry is into the country thing, and I was trying to find something that kind of an authentic old vintage sign, but yet something I could customize. And you go to Etsy and all the different sites and everything.
Kind of a ranch style thing?
Kind of, yeah, but I wanted something that was country, you know what I mean? And there's nothing more country than John Deere.
Yeah.
So I'd come up with a couple of different pictures and such, and nobody could really make me what I wanted. And somebody had got a hold of somebody who got a hold of somebody. Well, anyway, Alex and Mitch came through, and they said, send us what you want. We'll make it. And they actually took 16-gauge metal, and they cut this thing out, laser cut it, and it's fantastic. It's an unbelievable piece. They just started this company, Tack Metal Designs. They're in Sheboygan. If you need any metal work done, that's the place to go. They're good guys, Alex and Mitch. I know they're driving back right now, but they brought me this piece down that they had made for me for the bar, and they had it etched out of metal, and then they painted it with powder coat in the John Deere green. And it's going to go right in the bar when I get home tonight. It's fantastic, and it's really cool. So I'll post it up on the Facebook fan page and such coming up a little bit later on tonight. But got to say thanks to them for stopping by. I bought them a beer while they're hanging out down here for a little bit, but wanted to say thanks for them for coming
it's
down
nice
here.
It's a nice-looking piece. Hanging.
Yes, it is. It's fantastic. You got in the picture, too, which is nice.
Yeah.
It's there for all posterity now.
Right.
I'll post it coming up in a little bit. John Dodd alongside Mike Clemens here as well. We were talking about this team and about some of the guys that are banged up and what they need to do to win. Here's my question. And the bottom line is this. We know that this team goes as Aaron Rodgers goes. Mike, I'll start with you. Do you think Aaron Rodgers has the ability? He wouldn't give you a RELAX or run the table. But do you believe that this team has the ability to run off, say, six of the next seven?
No.
You don't?
No, I don't. And I'm not just basing these things on quotes like Randall Cobb saying, man, this just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
Hey, he's had a horrible season, you know, with the injury, not going – not even getting on the plane. But, you know, let's talk about the scenarios and the things that you're facing. At wide receiver, Geronimo Allison and Randall Cobb. Geronimo's on the injured reserve list. Randall's out again. And so it's Davante Adams and then rookie wide receivers. And that has to be showing up when you see Aaron Rodgers making hand signals and some missed passes. Secondly, Aaron Rodgers is not throwing the ball with Aaron Rodgers' accuracy. I mean, it's the results are in now. There's throws he's making. 2 weeks ago, he said three times in a post-game press conference, yeah, and I missed some throws. So he's putting his hand up in the air and being accountable for some of that as well. He keeps rolling out of the pocket, extending plays, and trying to find things downfield rather than just run the offense. The best drive I think this team has had in about a month came in the second possession of the third quarter against the Miami Dolphins. There was one glaring mistake where he had Davante Adams go down and out to the left-hand side. Just before the snap, Davante put his hands up in the air like, look, man, I got one-on-one.
Right.
We're taking this to the next level of the stem of the routes. He goes down and out, and Aaron just throws a five-yard pass while Devontae's looking for the ball 15 yards downfield. The ball sails into the air to the Dolphins' bench. Twice that happened, miscommunications between Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. It cost them a touchdown. He was open in the back of the end zone, and they seemed to miss on that. And Rodgers missed on some wide-open throws. If Aaron Rodgers isn't sharp, now you've got all kinds to overcome with two rookies. This is not the Aaron Rodgers that somehow pulled a rat out of his hat against the Cardinals with Jeff Janis and Jared Aberderis, you know?
Right.
And these two cats that he's got, and EQ and MVS are far more talented than those two players will ever be. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers is wrong. Aaron Jones is right and playing terrific football, and you've got, you know, a run game that's working. And when you use the play action, that was some of the best plays they had the other night. But I go back to that third drive, and what was different? It wasn't Aaron Rodgers in the shotgun and in the pistol. And seemingly after the game gets going, the defense either knows it's wide open to them that he's just going to hand off in sort of a draw-like fashion to Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams, or Rodgers is back there looking, and then he starts rolling and extending the plays, and his receivers are not coming back to him, particularly these rookies. They're running around downfield 35 yards. And Rodgers is now running for his life. He's not 100%, but he's a lot better than he was 2 weeks ago. No knee brace and that kind of thing. And he's throwing the football away. He's wasting plays left and right. But on that drive in the third quarter, they make him go under center. And he hands off. And the linebackers can't tell where the ball is going. So you get some great runs from Aaron Jones. Then the 30-yard pass to Mercedes Lewis, down the left-hand side. Huge play. Only his second catch of the year at tight end. Mm-hmm. A veteran free agent you bring into this team. And I know the guy is basically a blocking back, but why aren't they using him more? And
what about Jimmy Graham?
You know, he's either in double coverage, he's slow, and there isn't a trust factor there. And I think when Rodgers go, Jimmy Graham should be the target when Rodgers does roll out and goes into scramble mode. But there doesn't seem to be a trust there. He's not getting the football because
the only place you can throw for Jimmy is up.
Yeah.
You know, you should be able to at least trust him enough, John, to go up and get a ball, right?
I was in the Miami locker room, and I was talking to Howard, the DB, number 22, and he was saying their game plan was designed to double-team Jimmy Graham and Adams. And the whole thing was let Aaron Rodgers use the other guys to beat him. And so Jimmy Graham, even though he only catches one ball or has one significant catch, I think what he did was he kept space and separation for the other players. So he's an important player. It's just they're not utilizing him now. Mike raised some great points on your question. I would respectfully disagree. I think they still have a chance. And my read on Aaron Rodgers is the reason why he is not yet sharp is because he never had a chance to play in the preseason. They don't do that anymore. He hurt his knee right away, and he spent the first 4 or 5 weeks with a brace. Now the brace is off. He's moving a lot better. And he's still dealing with rookie wide receivers that seem to quit on plays. They're not Jordy Nelson that, you know, when the first two or three options are shut down, Jordy Nelson keeps running. Donald Driver kept running. Those guys know what the quarterback's seen. EQ and MVS are still learning that. So I think that accounts for some of it. But Rodgers is getting hit harder. He used to have that sixth sense where he could see a guy coming behind him, and he's getting tagged, and I think I mentioned that during the Buffalo game. He got tagged with blitzes, so
where he thought like he had all day, and there's guys breathing down his neck, and they cream him from behind.
Well, it reminded me of 2009 when he was just starting to go up the ladder, but he still didn't have that pocket awareness, and he was getting tagged, and his powers of observation and attention were directed downfield, and everything around him he just didn't quite see.
Well, so why don't they put him under center like this drive I'm talking about, where he hits MVS for 8 yards on the first play, the big incompletion to Vontae. Then he comes back and he hits Mercedes Lewis down the left hash, 30-yard gain. Aaron Jones makes a run round end for 12 yards, and then it's Aaron Jones right up the middle, 10-yard touchdown. Boom! I mean, that's the way it's supposed to look, like lightning, and use the speed, and use the talents of MVS in this instance. And instead, it's Rodgers standing back there in shotgun, and you know, first play, they maybe get a yard, and second play
is there a reason they're using shotgun more than under center and at least giving you the threat of a run?
What do you think that would be? Would it be because the knee is sore, and so you got to do more footwork when you're under center?
I think that's part of it. But
I think that could be. I mean,
about when Amon Green played in Green Bay, I asked the powers that be, why does Brett Favre stay under center, and why does and then sometimes he's in shotgun and hands it off to Green. What's the difference? And he said the difference is when they pass, Amon Green, if they're in shotgun, has the outside linebacker in blocking. If they're under center, Amon Green has to pick up possibly the defensive tackle. So what they said is they want Amon Green not to be bruised and banged up and wear and tear. So some of it might be blocking schemes.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why you would people said, why can't you just give the ball 25 times to Aaron Jones? He's just not that big of a guy.
No.
And he's not that big. He doesn't hit the blitz when
anywhere
they blitz up the A-gap.
15 to 18 times a game is probably about good for him.
I just know this. When Aaron Jones gets the ball, then you see the linebackers have to come up, right?
Right.
When the linebackers come up, the play action works.
Right.
Hello?
Yep.
And that's what made the difference in that drive.
And I don't know what the reluctance is to use him more. And I got to be honest.
Well, that was a great game, though, the other night. I mean, 15 carries, 145 yeah. yards, two
but
catches.
But pulling him out of
half.
There in that drive in the second quarter is stupid.
Yeah. And I mean,
if you give him a rest, that's fine for a couple of plays. But for the entire drive, and then you run Jamal Williams twice for only 1 yard.
Their explanation of that, like we talked about on a Monday show, is – you know, they've got a different package, and McCarthy gets into this detailed stuff about different running backs do different things, even down to their body type and how the fits through the offensive line, and there's other things that you have on the play sheet that you want to use, and so that's just not in Aaron Jones. Not, and it's more than just giving the guy a blow, it's a different package that they want to try and attempt, and so those are the plays they're going to run. That it's a strategic.
Well, it didn't
thing.
Work.
No, and it didn't. What it seemed to do is take away the momentum of the football.
That's exactly what it did. It's exactly what it did. And he used to do the because I you know what I respect the hell out of Mike McCarthy, but he's so full of crap because he used to do it with Ty Montgomery. We're going to run Ty Montgomery for a whole series. How many times do we see Ezekiel Elliott pulled out of a game to where he's going to sit for an entire series or two?
Well, the problem is that is
Le'Veon Bell.
Here you are,
Todd Gurley.
The problem with that is if you are a broadcaster sitting in the press box and you roll your eyes and say, "Oh, here comes the Ty Montgomery package," what do you think the opposing defense thinks? The same thing.
Thank God, here comes the Ty Montgomery package.
They can name off the plays.
Yeah. I mean, you know exactly what it is. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do so. Broadcasting live here at Libby, Montana, as we're on Dodges Bay Road in Mequon. Come on out. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle. It's brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We've got more coming up right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Oh, I think it's huge. I mean, you know, you can forget, you know, any previous matchups we had with him. I know there's been some good games, and it's good fodder for fans and media to talk about. But, you know, the reality is both teams are at a point now in the season past, you know, the halfway point, whereas we both need wins to stay alive in this, you know, NFC playoff picture. So it's a pivotal game in that regard.
Those are the words of Clay Matthews talking about pivotal, desperate, whatever you want to put behind it, whatever adjective you want to use to describe it. Big game coming up for the Green Bay Packers, taking on the Seattle Seahawks tomorrow night out at CenturyLink Field. Mike Clemens alongside from NFL Sirius Radio. John Dodds here from Dodds on Sports. The website, also Spotter. Correct me if I'm wrong, John.
Statistician.
Okay. Well, you don't do any spotting?
No.
You get it right more often than not. I thought I'd throw it out there.
Educated guesses sometimes.
Okay. Statistician. For the Packers broadcast as well. So John's got more than a working knowledge of the Green Bay Packers. As we get ready to take on this challenge tomorrow night, as far as the postgame show goes, I want to remind you that it's the Green and Gold postgame show coming up immediately following the game as well on many of these same network stations. So talking about this going in, guys, and about formations and play calling and such, the one thing I will say, I went back and watched the All-22 a couple of times. Not a lot of motion, not a lot of things going on with the offense. They do run some. They put a couple of guys, you know, it's basically you'll move a wide receiver to a slot. You don't see a lot of crossing behind Aaron Rodgers, you know what I mean? You don't see a lot of that motion to try to drag a safety across the field. You're just kind of waiting to see where they set up. So it's a lot of ISO routes. And I thought it was very telling when Aaron Rodgers was asked on that fourth down play, that fourth and two, what happened against Miami. And he said, well, they were supposed to get open. It's basically like, guys, go get open, and I'll try to find you. But going back to what you said, Mike, he's throwing to open jerseys. He's not throwing to spots right now.
Yeah, it's a fourth and two, and once again, he's out there rolling around. Secondary's actually got pretty good coverage on the play. Cameron Wake says, well, all I know is I could just say, as I was able to release, get into the backfield, and I think the reason I was able to get the sack is because secondary had good coverage, but, you know, he got, you know, a big sack on Aaron Rodgers on that play, and that was kind of deflating. It's like this shouldn't be happening against this team.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to tell you about this. Right now I'm picking Seattle, and I'll tell you why. Going into the L.A. game, I really thought there was just a sense of the way the team was preparing, where McCarthy was, in terms of there was just some juice there. And they wanted to light up that team. And you know, that's normal, too, for any NFL team. when you're the Rams and you're undefeated, you're going to get everybody's best. They want to be the first team to knock you off. That's a huge momentum builder. That's a big feather in the cap for any NFL coach, mm-hmm. you know, at any point of his career. And that game's going along, and, man, they had a great game plan, and they're competing, and you can see the excitement level, and they pull out a couple of exciting plays and some creative calls. And then the Ty Montgomery thing. And, man, those guys were terse, tense, angry, frustrating. Man, this is, you know, in words I can't use.
Mm-hmm.
As we had to stand outside a tunnel because that visitor's locker room in that old Coliseum is too small, so they wouldn't let us in there. But they brought the players out, and it was like actually more informal, kind of like a parking lot. We're standing around talking to these guys. They seem so deflated. They went into the Patriots game, and they competed for three quarters, and it was cold, and it was 17-17, and they make another boneheaded mistake on special teams. Was it Robert Tonyan and, you know, roughing the kicker? And then, you know, the Aaron Jones fumble and all that. And, you know, you've got kids out there. You got Jair Alexander and Josh Jackson in your secondary. They're only 7 or 8 games into their NFL career. Now they got to face Tom Brady and Bill Belichick on Sunday Night Football on a cold Gillette Field that, you know, that they're, you know, these guys aren't used to playing in that cold. I mean, that's a tall task for those guys. So they get through the Dolphins game. But, you know, right now, I'm just saying, and that now they get to get a play in a short game. I'm just telling you, right now, I haven't felt it since the days leading up to the Rams game. You know, like this thing is, it's like a rocket, and the smoke is starting to, you know, billow out from beneath the tower, and you're just about ready to see this thing jump off the launch pad and go into the second half of the season. I'm not feeling it right now.
Not getting on the they can do this train,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I would disagree in that, although I don't think anybody can read right now who's going to play tomorrow night and what are they going to be tired. Seattle was played also in a late game on Sunday in warm weather.
In the Coliseum against the
Coliseum.
The Rams.
But it looks like they have everybody just, I think KJ Wright is the only one that may,
he's doubtful,
that may be
I
an
think.
Issue. But my read on the team is if as long as Bulaga, Bakhtiari, and Rodgers are okay, I think they can still beat anybody. And the best defensive player that the Packers have is Aaron Rodgers. Because last week, Seattle ran for over 270 yards against the Rams. But if Aaron Rodgers gets the Packers up 17-3, they can't go to the running game. He's the ultimate run stuffer. So I call him the best defensive player, the most important defensive player on the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
That's Rodgers. So I still think they – but I want to know about
– So let me ask
Alexander.
You this, though.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Sunday night, he says, you know, it's still kind of a they just beat the Dolphins, and their defense didn't allow the Dolphins to get into the end zone. And Aaron says, it's still kind of a disjointed game, man. 9 drives, and we had some weird things happen. So I asked him the next day, I said, what did you mean by disjointed? You know, define that for me. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by disjointed football game? And he kind of hemmed and hawed, and he talked about a couple of mistakes they made on offense. He didn't want to talk about things like, you know, and then, you know, our special teams had a blocked punt, you know, which screws
right.
up our field position and that, and other kinds of mistakes. He tried to keep it to himself and mistakes that the offense made. But, you know, it's just never quite right for this guy. You know, you beat the Dolphins, he's saying, and it starts with him and plays that he's missing or things he's not seeing downfield or things he doesn't trust. You just walk off 31-12, and you're still not happy with your golf game. It's like, my irons weren't good today, and gosh, I was in a couple of traps. Yeah, but you shot a 78.
Yeah.
That's pretty good
Here's
for
the
a
thing,
golfer,
though.
Man.
But if even if you play well, normally he's kind of like, you know, we'll learn from this. We got a couple things to work on, but, you know, good day overall. But this didn't sound like that. This sounded like this is probably the most down or frustrated or whatever you want to throw behind it I've ever heard him after a win.
Well, and you know why? Because he can't explain it. And I don't think it's he's holding back on, you know, throwing McCarthy or something like that under the bus. Here's another thing, too. You know, when you start in the NFL as a coach, you get 2 or 3 years. Half of this staff is new. You have a new passing coordinator. You have a new defensive coordinator. a new defensive line run stopping coordinator. You've got a new quarterback coach. You've got a new wide receiver coach. Even though David Rain's been there for 3 years, this is the first time he's ever been a receivers coach. He's a quarterback. He's a college quarterback. And now in his first year, he's coaching NFL wide receivers. And oh, by the way, two of them are starters and they're rookies.
Yeah.
They're rookies. And you still got, you know, Jamon Moore is a third guy that you got to get up to speed. I mean, these guys are eight games. These coaches are eight games together as a unit. Mm-hmm. As a unit. And you can sit through all those meetings and scrub all your playbooks for 9 months in the off season. But, you know, damn it, you're in game and learning about each other and trying to make these adjustments. And that's got to slow up the process as well.
One thing that could possibly explain why Aaron Rodgers isn't sharp, another thing I just thought of when you were talking, is the same thing that happened to Brett Favre when he got to be 33, 34, 35. He found that he had to rededicate himself and do more reps and come to mini camps and work out a lot more. And he did a lot more. He would go in and look at the West Coast, and he would look at every single play, and he wanted to know what the offensive tackles were doing behind his back.
He got out that laptop even after they won. And you know when he started doing that? When he got a new head coach.
Well, McCarthy, I thought McCarthy saved his last 5 years. He structured them. Ray Rhodes and Mike Sherman would kind of
whatever you want.
What do you think, Brett?
What do you think?
And you can't. Mike Holmgren didn't do that. Vince Lombardi would structure people and say, "All right, Paul Hornung, you can go this and this within the structure, though you can block this or that way." And that's what McCarthy did to Favre, which saved him in 2006 and 2007. Favre ended up his last 22 games. He won 18 of them. He was 18-4. His last 22 games in Green Bay. And I'm wondering if Rodgers now is kind of suffering from that issue where you're 35 years old, your skills are on the decline as any 35-year-old versus 28-year-old. I wonder if you have to work harder. I wonder if your friends, just like Chewy and Frankie, they're all gone. Jordy Nelson is all gone.
Sure.
So that maybe they need to bring in Doug Peterson, who Favre used to say was the highest paid best friend in the NFL,
right,
when he was the backup. Maybe, you know, there's something possibly there. I remember Bill Romanowski interviewing him for the Raiders when they had Jerry Rice and they had Rich Gannon. And those guys were all 38 years old or older at the time. He said, "What I really like about this team is I can identify with these guys." He pointed at Rice, he pointed at Gannon. Their families are the same age as my families. They listen to the same music that I listen to. We have a rapport. I mean, Brett Favre, when he was 35, I think probably the rookies wanted to date his daughter, kind of a thing. It was just a whole different way of looking at it.
So, you know, if Brett's 34, 35, and it's 2005, and Antonio Chapman is covered, he throws 27 interceptions.
Right.
If Aaron Rodgers is 34 and he can't get an open guy, he has 37 throwaways. That's the difference.
Right, yeah, no doubt. Hey, I want to remind you, Libby Montana's out here. They have the beer pong tournament coming up Wednesday, the Wednesday night before Christmas or before Thanksgiving. That's a week from tonight, the beer pong tournament. So, Mike, if you're not doing anything, this is the place to be, just so you know.
Okay.
Okay, bring something to dunk.
Can I watch online?
You can watch online. Winter volleyball starts soon as well out here at Libby Montana. So if you're looking for a league or something to do, come out, set it up, and start your winter volleyball out here as well.
You're going to come interview the coaches, right? No, I've got to.
Well, the beer pong tournament, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not the volleyball, no. Right, sure. But beer pong, there's an art to that, trust me.
The boss will understand
it. It's all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. There is one thing that nobody's talking about when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk about it coming up next in the Bill Michaels Huddle.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Stay in the field, put up points. I mean, that's really what it is. It's a tough place to go play. I mean, they're very good at home. We know that. We haven't had much success there. I mean, my time here, I think we won a preseason game there in 9 years. So we understand the challenge. It's going to be a tough game, big game. So got to be ready to play.
Those are the words of Brian Bulaga talking about not having much success so far in Seattle since he has been with the Green Bay Packers. Welcome back. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle. We are broadcasting live at Libby Montana's Dodges Bay Road here in Mequon. Come on by and say hi. About 1 hour down, another hour yet to go. We'll also start making our picks for the rest of the NFL docket coming up. And that includes, by the way, tomorrow night's game between the Green Bay Packers and the Seattle Seahawks. Don't forget, after tomorrow night's ball game, you can catch the Green and Gold postgame show. Yours truly, Gary Ellerson, alongside. We break it down. Mike, you in studio with us on that one?
I am. Balaga so, kind of went off, too. I mean, there's no better guy than Brian Balaga, out of Iowa, you know, farm guy, down to earth. It's amazing the injuries he's come back from. Two ACLs, hip surgery. He gets back out there, and, you know, he's not fast and just incredible with his footwork like David Bakhtiari, but he's great at holding down the right side and dealing with, you know, big guys. He misses every once in a while, but he's pretty dependable. And, my gosh, he sure is a workhorse when it comes to getting that body ready week after week and getting on the field. Nobody knows it better than Balaga. But, you know, these players, man, it's like Aaron Rodgers said, yeah, man, we'll see next CBA. They're frustrated about all this talk about player safety, and then you got guys hobbling onto the field just before the kickoff on Thursday night trying to hope that adrenaline kicks in,
right,
and they can get through four quarters. And, you know, they talk about that the product is not as good. There's a lot of bad games on Thursday night, and it's because there's been no prep and players are out there hobbling around. So it's a real issue. Really, people, I think they're not in tune to it as much. Doesn't make sense. I was at the Super Bowl when Commissioner Goodell was up there and made the announcement. We're now unveiling Thursday Night Football. And Andy Rooney, remember him?
Yep.
From 60 Minutes. He's sitting next to me. He would come to the Super Bowl every year. He'd get free tickets through CBS. He'd get a press pass. And he's sitting there just shaking his head like, oh, God, this is so stupid. he's rolling his eyes under those big bushy eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody just thought this – Is this man?
Why?
Has he lost his mind?
Why? Why would you do that?
Has he lost his mind?
Now, I'm really dating myself at this point, too.
What?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that being said, at least the NFL, I had to pull a retraction today because I thought the NFL, they would stage a football game in a gravel parking lot if they couldn't make money on it. At least they pulled it out of the
Mexico City with the
Estadio, you know, Mexican football stadium down
right
there.
And so it's going back to the Coliseum, right?
Yes, it's going back to L.A.
It was supposed to be technically a Rams home.
You always wonder, had the aerial shots, somebody flew a drone over that thing, had the aerial shots not come out, would they have just walked in and went, oh, we didn't know? And tried to keep the game down
like there. The Hall of Fame game a couple of years ago that got canceled? Yeah.
Because to me, they canceled that late last night into today. So my question is, why did it take you so long knowing how bad this field was?
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You mean you did
that? They have people watching Wembley Stadium after what happened over there the first time they went to London, and it was coming up like 3-foot squares of bad office carpeting.
Millions of dollars of athletes on a football field and billions of dollars at stake, and you don't have an advanced team, an expert advanced team, at least a week before to say, hey, this ain't going to make it.
I wonder how much that is true and how much the fires impacted that. Because I know I have a friend who works at the Rams, and this person was saying that half of their employees couldn't make it in because their houses were burning.
Yeah.
And all their practice facilities.
Or their neighborhoods were at least being threatened.
So I'm wondering if they decided, let's forget about it this year. Let's just concentrate so all the L.A. people can show up because – I mean, even Clay Matthews was worrying about his home in Malibu.
Rodgers is tweeting out, you know, our hearts are with paradise and, you know, such out there. Yeah,
now, that town's just down the street from Chico, and it's a town where he would compete against in basketball and football, and it's completely wiped out. And as for Thousand Oaks, you know, I'm just out there a couple weeks ago, and then there's that, you know, mass shooting. That bar's about a mile and a half from where the Rams' temporary facilities are, and they're right next to this Cal Lutheran University. It's all, you know, part of that sort of campus area. And I you know, you get off the 101, which takes forever, then you get up into these hills, it's like, oh, this is beautiful. I mean, I could see why they picked this, because instantly you can find a nice house, there's a nice school down the street, there's where the supermarket is. Okay, that's a quick setup for a player that moves in and all that. And I got all the little things that I need, and you're away from the distractions of the city and all that. But it's all dry up there. You see all the dry needles everywhere, and you say to yourself, man, if someone throws a match out a window, this is all going to go too.
Yeah, that's the reason, no doubt. You've got the Packers going and taking on Seattle coming up tomorrow night. Seattle, by the way, has played the best football in primetime, 23-5-1 since Pete Carroll took over, an 8-10 winning percentage. And the Packers, by the way, 22-15-0 in prime time, which is a 595 winning percentage, but only the New England Patriots trail Seattle by any type of a close margin. Seattle's played really well with Pete Carroll in prime time, and then you throw into the fact that road teams don't win on Thursday night. This is a daunting task.
And you know something? McCarthy is, what, 13 years now? 2006? Yeah, this is his 13th season as head coach. Pete Carroll's only been there 8, and he went to the Super Bowl twice.
Right.
I mean, that says something, too, between what he and John Schneider did in terms of building that roster and running that team.
You know what? I agree with that, but I also think the Packers should have been there in Seattle.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, had it not been for you've got Julius Peppers telling Morgan Burnett to go down. You know, Micah Hyde didn't know where to be on a two-point conversion. You know what I mean? Bostic's being screamed at, leave the ball alone, and still goes and gets it anyway. Any one of those plays change, and that game's over, and the Packers win that ballgame, and they're off to the Super Bowl. I firmly believe they would have beat New England.
And I'll tell you what, this might make a difference tomorrow night. Remember the special teams call that Pete Carroll called with, you know, the fake field goal?
Right.
I wouldn't doubt that Pete Carroll has a special team surprise for those guys tomorrow night as well.
1 hour down, another hour yet to go. Broadcasting live out here at Libby, Montana's Donjus Bay Road in Mequon. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle. Don't forget Beer Pong coming up next Wednesday night here. The winter volleyball season is starting as well. A lot more yet to go. We've got more right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.